Man, hoo-wee. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to News of My Fiance. Thursday morning, right here on X-Ray FM. You know how we do. MJ is here. That wasn't a pre-recorded situation earlier on the intro. She's actually here. She's just also taking care of some technical stuff for us.
HVAC duties.
HVAC duties. And for anyone that may not be aware, in the home, she is the HVAC lead.
Tech.
Yeah. Lead tech. Yeah.
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 Whatever they're called, I am that.
Yeah.
I am untrained, but I am now very experienced. You know?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Well, we put it a different way. No formal training.
There it is.
Huh? No formal training, but there's going to be no air leakage around here. Okay?
On the job training, there. Done it.
Unpaid on the job training. Signed up right for it, I guess.
Boom.
I didn't want to be hot.
Yeah, man.
Oh. Good morning, fiancés.
Good morning.
Happy Thursday. How far art thou? Mm-hmm. What a week, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Lots going on.
So much.
So much to chat about.
I do want to give a quick shout out to the homie Deca. We had the pleasure. Lee is in No Request DJs. Had the pleasure of opening for him last night. Also with local Portland MC Spinach, who DJed his own set with like 1200s. I forgot to tell you that last night. Like,
wow.
He had 12s on stage, Serato and everything, and then had it turned in a way that he can set his tracks up, do some effects, go on stage and rap, come back from center stage. Like, yes. It was dope. I was like, okay.
Wow. Right.
No controller. You chose 12s. Awesome. Whoa.
Wild.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. But yeah, great turnout last night. Shout out to everyone that came out for that. It's always great to see weekday hip hop events.
Hello.
You know, a crowd that's there to hear the backpacks, you know, the backpacks, the stacked backpacks.
Filled with vinyl records.
Filled with the vinyl.
Yeah. Their backpacks are so heavy.
This is a crowd that knows that vinyl never, ever has an S on it. And I love that. I love that.
It never has a... Because people say vinyls.
Oh my God. Oh my word.
Did you bring your vinyls? Explain. Use it in a sentence.
You just did.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
The youths today. Check with Sid. The youths today? Vinyls. Oh, I picked up a couple new vinyls today.
Quinn, I need you to.
Yeah.
Can you?
I know some of our listeners know this. Yeah. They add the S on and it's like, it's literally nails on the chalkboard to me. Why are you, please don't.
Interesting. You know, Black people have the urge to add an S to many things. And then you don't have the urge on words that don't need it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Vinyls sounds wild. Ooh. So I definitely am going to use it from here on out.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, MJ. Thank you. Appreciate you there.
Well, I come to News with My Fiance to learn, and I did just learn a new thing, and I want to be hip with the now.
You know? Technically, that would make you hip with
I the now. I am a cool mom, so.
I think Bree will give you the business for saying vinyl. She'll be like, don't do that.
Double time, because she's a DJ. Like, right. It'd be one thing, you're just trying to be young.
Uh-huh.
But it's a total nether when you're messing with someone's actual art.
She's like, Mom, could you please? No, vinyls here. Yeah. But it was a great crowd. Great crowd. Excellent crowd. We gained some new followers last night. And had a really good time.
I love it.
Shout out to that, man. Yeah.
Also, shout out to Cliff. DJ Cliff is just one of my favorite people. And facts. You two as No Requests is such a great time.
Yeah. For sure. We got some big plans coming up for the next couple of years. Been talking about it. It is really amazing to think that we're about to hit 3 years in October. Like, what? Where did the time go? 3 years of No Requests. Like that.
That is wild.
Yeah. Super wild. Super wild.
Good morning, Michelle. I was just about to ask if we were on air, to be clear. Thankfully, my mind has been read. Michelle said, good morning to all the single collective pronouns out there and all the liberals who are the real problem with lacking empathy, clearly.
Hello. Those libs. Yeah.
We're going to own them today.
Yeah. They're going to get owned, bro.
Or wait. No.
Yeah. No. Oh, well, listen.
You know, they get owned every day. Do they not?
Stick that chin right out there and get owned.
You know, yeah. Empathy, I heard, was a bad word. And
who told you that?
Well, Charlie Kirk said that it's a new age word that actually causes harm. And so I think maybe it's not the appropriate, you know.
Leave it to the hippies. Shouldn't be worried about empathy. It's not a
well, thing. You know, got to deal with that new age stuff. I don't want to deal with any of that.
Man.
So we've got stories.
Yeah.
We will be talking about today. We will not, I won't even try and preamble. Sure. Clan-on-clan violence on a Wednesday. It's my favorite meme. Now,
would this be considered clan-on-clan violence?
Well, I don't know yet. We don't know who did anything. That's I just true. Wanted to be able to say clan-on-clan violence. And I learned in the as media here, you could just do what you want. You know, you could just say things, you could just, you know, and then sometimes you can retract it if you want to.
If you want.
And other times you could just be like, yeah, so that was that day. What's your problem?
Yeah.
Buddy.
Get over it, bruh.
Yeah, no, we don't actually know if this was clan on clan violence. This, what we can certainly say is there was a sniper. And sniping happened, and Charlie Kirk is dead. Mm-hmm. Next, we'll be talking about Drone It and Dead It.
Mm.
Very much like Set It and Forget It, you know? Do you remember
Set
that?
The drone and let it do its thing.
Let it do its thing. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of updates on the U.S. drone strike off the of Venezuela. And in local news. We already knew that this is sort of like breaking old news.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
One Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez is again the Spider-Man meme, pointing directly at himself while yelling at a judge. I don't know.
No part of me is surprised. None.
You know, it's mad interesting what people are able to spin, you know, and that so many of public facing and public safety, big bunny ear quotes there mm-hmm. of public safety, but public service jobs, the amount of optics, for lack of a...
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, prioritized over actual work. If you are a person who ran for an elected position and ran on changing something and doing things differently because it was just oh so unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in and you don't. And then not only do you don't, but you blame other people for it.
Not only do you don't. Yeah.
It's just too prevalent. I mean, it's like part of the job. Part of the job is just do the spin instead of doing lay job.
It's gross. He's pretty good at it. Pretty good at it.
Super gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we'll get into later on in the show.
Yeah.
What?
But what's happening?
I was going to say, there's a few things. One, the first video I saw on the internet, on the social of the Meads yesterday. Open Instagram. And there is a video that said that has the pin emoji and says something about Portland. So, of course, I'm in. Tell me everything.
Right.
I am Portland Morgan. What's happening?
Need the deets. What's happening in my city?
What's happening in my city right this second? And all I could come away with was Rittenhouse killed people so this lady could do this? There was a woman standing in defense of ICE.
That's the facility.
Appeared to be a lone defender, a lone bootlicker to the oppressor.
Yep.
Out there doing her best to defend the heroes that she believes were inside that facility. I have no idea.
Yeah. Mind you, she's out there by herself. There's no members of ICE. There's no police officers. There's no security. It's just her.
There's no best friend.
Nothing.
There's no fellow protester
defender.
Protector.
Yeah.
There's no one. She's standing there by herself. She's being recorded by people who are protesting ICE. And I do understand that, like, if you're the one person and then, you know, say there's five other people that are in opposition, maybe you feel attacked.
Right.
Sis had her whole bright pink bear mace or regular, I don't know, mace in her hand and continued to threaten people with, like, I will mace you. I'm going to get you, sucker. And then all of a sudden you see one of her hands just sort of like fighting the air. She's trying to grab a gnat, but there's no gnat, you know?
It's just mace in her face.
She just maced herself on the accidents. I don't know if it was pointed directly back at her. I don't know if mace backfires. Did it boomerang? Was there a swift gust of wind?
That's the other thing.
Smacked it right back into her face.
Don't spray into the wind.
But she's talking, and nothing. The people talking to her are just like, "What? Like, basically, what are you doing here? Like, you know, like it's not. It isn't even like. At least in the clip that we saw, there wasn't. She wasn't being antagonized. They were. It seemed like she was antagonizing them, and then they're asking questions like, "Are you serious? Like,
what are you doing here?"
And she maced herself, and come to find out, she's not from here. You're not from here, so you've traveled to a city that you're like, they're looting and killing people.
Yeah,
you gotta let ICE do their job.
Her president put her on alert, bro.
And she gets here and hurts herself, and all she kept saying was like, "I don't care. I will post this video."
Oh, News of My Fiance.
Yeah. The I don't care is absolutely classic.
Yeah.
She sounds you like maced yourself. You tried to fight it off with a finger. And then you were like, I don't care. I'm not even tripping. I don't even care.
While pouring your drinking water, your allocated drinking water into your eyes.
Yeah.
I don't care. If you don't care, you should just let it burn. Let it do its job.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's going to do that no matter what.
Yeah.
Whether you let it or not.
Yeah.
You can set it and forget it. It's doing that.
The video is funny as you're hearing people say, do you need milk? She needs milk.
Wait, did you mace yourself?
Did you mace yourself?
What happened there? Did you just mace yourself?
And then she demands that they call the police and an ambulance for her.
I need to get an ambulance. I want an ambulance. I'm not sure for what, because you don't care.
I literally would be like, use your phone. You went to ambulance.
Did you bring your cell phone to the protest of you?
Reach in your pocket. No, that's the mace. Don't grab the mace again. Grab your phone. I'm not. No. This is tomfoolery of your own making. I will not participate. I will not. Absolutely not. And because we're in Portland, because I will probably be one of the few black people there, the second she maced herself, I am now relocating to across the street, and I'll be there with my picket sign. I'm going to be the furthest from this incident. Waving my picket sign, cracking jokes. Like, MJ, you will not effing believe what just happened. This is wild for the night. Yeah, like, come on, man. I'm not. Nope. Nope.
Wait a minute now.
Uh-oh.
Got a text here that says she had the karma, 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 chameleon flavor of mace.
C's.
What's up, fam? Colorado C's. So that's two pieces right there for me. One.
C's, chill out.
Karma chameleon is going to be all I hear for the rest of the day. So thank you. No, thank you. Thank you again.
Oh.
What you doing in Colorado?
Oh my God. Yeah, what you doing in
Colorado? I'm nosy. I like that you just added it in, like, hey guys, just a subtle.
Yeah.
I'm not at home.
Yeah. I'm in a different time zone.
Good morning, P-Town. P-Town said about me. Wait, nope. About me, the word is that
empathy?
Empathy. And its actions gets canceled. Gets cancel cultured. I gotta learn how to read. Fabulous Rising. I had no idea the Klan has snipers around still. You know, hey, I just don't want to take anything away from anyone. You know?
It's true.
What skills someone may have? It's unfair for me to assume that none of those exist within.
Yeah. Certainly.
The robed ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I see you got here. Kamala's back. Now, I saw she made some statements about the Biden administration and not necessarily just about the Biden administration, more so about the delay in him stepping down. And some of the frustrations she faced while trying to, you know, run her campaign, and also some of the things she faced as VP. Was there more than, is that what we're talking about here when you're saying Kamala's back? I just saw a quick, like, 5-slide Instagram thing.
Yes.
She out here podcasting? What's going on?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but if you run for office, especially a high elected office, like you were the vice president, right, and you ran for president, or even in running, you know, and you didn't win, maybe you never became the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to write a book.
Oh, just for the run.
This is a book.
Oh.
She's back for the book tour, baby.
Oh, wowee wee wow.
So if you'll remember, there was a time not long ago when people were like, where is Kamala, huh? Because
why isn't she
the one fixing the stuff that she would not be able to fix because she is not an elected official? She was writing a book. I feel like we all could have told you that she was writing a book, but instead you shouldn't have been asking where she was at anyway.
Yeah, because so. Leave black women alone.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, she was busy.
She was busy writing a book. She was busy doing a Michael Wolff is what I like to call it. If you guys will remember, Michael Wolff, famed journalist who would get all the scoops from one Donald John Trump and then tell us about it like too late.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, guys, he totally did X.
Got to meet my publishing deadline. Can't be worried about the news and, you know, getting information out there to you guys. Got to meet my publishing deadline.
And by publishing deadline, I mean for my book that's coming out a year and a half after this.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, she's pulling a Michael Wolff. She's letting us know, hey, guys, welcome back to my channel. I totes agree. He was supposed to step down way sooner than he did. I mean, obviously, Pop was tired. And the Biden, you know, the Biden aides and folks that, you know, refuse to be named, which I do fully understand.
Right.
Are like, there's an array of responses. It's sort of like folks are big annoyed that she even is doing this. Then there's the folks that are like, I mean, cute, but way too little, way too late.
Right.
Why do it now? I'm not in the camp of why do it now, but I am in the camp of, did you want to win? Did you, when you said, yeah, I'll do it, did you want to? Or were you like, I guess we'll just do this as a play?
It's like she was still seeking permission to run. Still seeking permission to win.
A completely, you know, incredibly layered, complex situation that we have not seen before in the way of your teammate is basically being told to step aside by the, you know, the establishment.
Yeah.
You are doing your best to walk the line of this is, in fact, still like I respect my teammate and stuff like that, but also I need to beat my teammate.
Right.
So I understand that, you know, fine lines and all of those things. But doing your level best to separate yourself and your policies from the person you were in that, you know, moment tethered to years late. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who wants that story.
Especially,
well, I do. There's a lot of people are going to love this story.
Especially with the excerpts that we have received so far, with her clearly saying that she felt sidelined throughout that term. You know, there were times when she felt as though she should have been given center stage or at least opportunities to, you know, introduce him and speak on some of the things that she was doing. And wasn't given that. So now here it is. You know, we're in the fourth quarter. Very serious situation here. If you have been gotten used to a certain type of treatment from the president and his team, now it's your turn. Why wouldn't you assert yourself,
bruh,
as much as you possibly could? Like, hey, listen. During your entire term, you've been putting me on the shelf. Now, everyone is saying it's my turn. We have made a collective decision. You are in the way. Do you understand what's at stake? And if you don't, hey, man, dementia, whatever's going on.
Sure.
We get it. It just should have been a little pat on the shoulder. Hey, we have a seat for you over here by the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to get, and can someone get a plate? We're going to get a plate for you, Joe. That way you don't have to stand in line with everyone else. You can just sit by the bathroom and we'll bring a plate. Like, it's over. And of course, hindsight's 2020. So, you know.
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020. Also, I don't think you should get to be the president when you are in such rapid decline. No. Like, this isn't necessarily about, it is not about age. If something happened and you I'm sorry.
I was agreeing with you that it wasn't about age. Mm. And I said the answer in my head, but it came out of my mouth at the same time.
And what was it?
It's about readiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was trying not to cut you off. I was like, yeah, it's about. And I ate it.
And then you cut me off anyway. So. It's about ability. It's not about how old you are. If John Fetterman was the president, I'd say there's a big problem going on here.
Huge problem.
And it wouldn't have anything to do with how old he is. But this is honestly, we have continued to live in the fever dream of old white men. And that is another part of it. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican, right?
Right.
Fam was like, I finally got my shot, you guys, and I'm not going to just not have it. Mm-hmm. And I'm having it.
Yeah.
It's right now.
Yeah.
And I think they like me still, and I'm going to try to do it again.
Yeah. Joe acted like
elder abuse.
Acted like the party was taking this opportunity away from him and not that his health was.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He took it really personally. Like, you guys, listen, you're trying to tell me what to do when I have a job to do. And that job is to sell ice creams. I mean, run the country.
Vinyls.
What? Yeah. I'm going to run the country out of an ice cream truck selling vinyls.
Yes.
Joe, did you hear what you just said? Tomato. What? Joe.
Tomato.
Let's relax. Let's chill out here.
I feel like this text must be Rudo, but, you know, we'll see. Breaking news. Thomas Foolery arrested on man's laughter charges at local protest.
That was a winner.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very good winner. Very good. C said she and... Oh, wait a minute. She and Scottie Pippen should do a podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yo.
I would hate to watch that. I definitely would. Rudo is here, though. Morning, fiancés. Nope. Fiancés. What did I miss? Anything new or fun happening in the news in the past 24 hours? I've been in the garage.
What's it? Reading all my blade funnies. Nope, nothing.
Thanks for checking, Rudo. Nothing's happened in the past 24 hours. You know, nothing major. You know.
P10 said, nope, shut that down. Coppola Harris, sit downstairs, lady.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all.
It's going to be a bestseller, so y'all can say what y'all want to say. It's going to be a bestseller, you know. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, it's on Oprah's, it's going to be on Oprah's.
Read list,
yeah, book club situation.
Yeah.
It's going to be in O Magazine. It's going to be a picture of her and Michelle Obama holding hands somewhere. Listen. There's going to be a foreword by Barry.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you got to bring, yeah, you know, I got to
bring the big guns.
Got to show my big friends.
Okay. All right.
You know?
True. I like it.
That didn't help me during any.
Sure. Wow.
Dude probably
wow.
called Clyburn and was like, nah, mix it. We're going with Joe Byron one more time.
Clyburn was like, the lady?
The skirt?
We want the lady in there?
I like her hair, but I
she can wear a suit, but I don't know. Clyburn. Ah, pish posh that guy. Ah, that's funny, though. The lady?
So I don't know, you know, which way to go with the music break. You know, today is a day. It's September 11th, an anniversary of sorts. I definitely, as I was writing the news last night, thought of some songs that Ambush should play and then forgot to tell Ambush what songs I thought he should play.
It's true.
I'm also not a DJ, so it's sometimes annoying probably when I'm like, ooh, you should play this song. But it's an anniversary, you know? And so, of course, I thought, Tony, anniversary.
I don't know if that's...
You already know. You know. And then it devolved because so many different things happened. And when I was laughing at the lady that maced herself, I did, in fact, think of Gust of Wind by one Daft Punk and Pharrell.
Oh.
That's not what the song is called. Is it?
I'm not sure. It might be. That was a banger, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. C said Kamala couldn't separate herself from Joe's policies. And nobody reads anymore. It's not hard to be a bestseller anymore. Ten books will do it.
Well, to be fair.
Also, writing that check will do it, so.
Nobody has to read the book in order for it to be a bestseller.
That's true.
Lots of folks buy a book, put it on the shelf, right? And especially when it comes to a figure that has written a book that is about their experience, it could easily get, you know, thrown in the Amazon cart.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe you're one of those people that buys books as gifts and you throw eight of those in your Amazon cart and you hand them out to the people that, you know what I mean? Like,
I want to be that guy.
I think giving books as a gift is absolutely perfect.
I want to be that guy.
For people that read.
The people can count on, oh, something just came out. Bush is going to send it to me. I'm going to be that guy. Yeah. There were a couple of things before the break, though.
Yeah.
The music break. Some things coming up I see you have here. Definitely Aminé's Best Day Ever Festival this weekend.
That's happening this weekend.
Yeah.
It's finally here.
Yeah.
9/13 and 14.
Boom.
McMiniman's.
Yeah.
Edgefield.
Boom.
Hometown Hero.
Boom.
Bring in the big acts.
Boom.
Big Fun.
Hello.
With the Wretched.
Hello. We'll be there.
Indeed.
And if you're interested, you could be there as well. We have one more pair of tickets to give away.
What?
We got one more pair. Yeah.
Okay, that's breaking news to me. Do we work together or?
We do. We do. It's just that you do some work, I do some work, and sometimes memos get lost.
Or not sent.
No, just lost. Because I definitely told you earlier this week that we had another pair to give away. And it was, and you know, it's just, things get lost. We just didn't come up with a strategy with which to give them away. But we had another pair to give away. And hey, you want in? You want the tickets? Text your first and last name, because that's all I need to get you on the bill. Text your first and last name in, and you get the pair of tickets. Boom. There it is. There's something else coming up. I see you have it September 17th. It's called Scene 2025 at the Hollywood Theater. An evening of short film celebrating the creativity of Pacific Northwest filmmakers. We're shining a spotlight on the perspectives and stories of underrepresented and underserved artists. Nice.
At the Hollywood Theater.
The Hollywood Theater. Be a part of space for artistry, community, and celebration right here in Oregon. Shout out to the homies over at Open Signal and OMPA.
Mm-hmm.
And also YGB Portland.
Yes.
And there is a prevailing homie that is a trifecta through all those organizations.
Rashonda!
Shout out Rashonda.
And shout out the amazing work that she has continued to do on the scene here.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the scenes.
For sure. So, all right. Yes. We can hop into our music break. And we'll come right back. What do you want to jump into first? The DA story?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. We will catch you guys right after this music break. And we are back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Oh, man. If you caught anything before our music break, we jumped a couple of places. Definitely talked about some upcoming events. Talked about, you know, Kamala on our book tour. And if you haven't seen it yet, Morgan will definitely make sure we post it from our Instagram. The Ice Avenger.
Yeah.
She felt the need to come to the defense of the defenseful. They're not defenseless at all. But women out here traveling to come to Portland to mace herself in front of our ICE facility. But yeah.
In protection of ICE.
In protection of those who do not need protection.
So, say 15. Do we spend a couple of minutes on The Departed? Or do we hit the local? Or?
I say we hit the local. The Departed caught me off guard. because the movie is the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there's his Departed. Maybe not dearly, but there's his Departed. I said we go local.
So all right, well, local. I'm jumping in. There's reckless driving and a reckless DA. Oscar Burrell Jr., 33, was caught on video driving recklessly all over the metro area. I don't know, y'all, if you saw it. There was swerving. There was speeding. There was tearing through city parks. Hanging out the driver's side window on I-5. No hands on the wheel. No feet on the ground.
Yeah.
Residents tipped off police, and he was finally arrested in April 2025. Now, before I tell you how he was arrested, I am going to tell you that he posted these videos himself.
They were a tough watch.
Mans was out here doing Fast and Furious 72, I think. Final Destination is the full name of the film.
Fast and Infuriating.
Fast and Infuriating Final Destination.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did his own stunts.
Mans was out here doing his own stunts. Quite the driver. Quite the switch a laner without hitting anybody. Shocking that he was not hurt. Shocking that he did not hurt someone else. And he was arrested in April 2025 after he called 911 to report being sideswiped. It was a hit and run.
The nerve.
And a responding officer recognized his name from the ongoing investigation and his wild social media posts. Fast forward to court. Burrell was convicted of 2 counts of reckless driving and 1 count of recklessly endangering another person. He was charged with 11 counts. Okay, keep that 11 in your mind. Convicted of 3, charged with 11. And I'm going to apologize up front because I have absolutely no idea how to say this woman's name. With respect, Your Honor, Judge Catherine Von Ter Steg? Stege? Steggy?
Steg? Yeah.
I'm unfamiliar. Steg.
Okay.
With the Von Trapps. This judge handed down the sentence, which ended up being 18 months of bench probation, 80 hours of community service, and a 90-day suspension.
Okay.
On top of that, he's required to attend a victim impact panel, take a high-risk driver course, and undergo a mental health evaluation with treatment if necessary. Fiancés, you heard the list. There was no jail time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty soft.
Well,
soft on crime there,
you know, and to add to the softness there, he can reduce his community service hours if he makes a video telling people not to do what he did.
80 hours is a lot of
a PSA
hours.
If you will. Enter in Multnomah County District Attorney Nathan Vasquez. Tomato. He publicly blasted the judge, saying he, quote, strongly disagrees with her evaluation of the facts. He pointed to the video showing Burrell driving hands-free while leaning out of his car window, plowing through city parks where kids were present, and called the not guilty verdicts on 5 counts bewildering. In a Wednesday interview, Vasquez said he spoke out because, in his words, quote, the public should know who their elected officials are and how they make decisions. But here's where it gets messy. Fiancés. Vasquez's own office recommended the probation and no jail time. His deputy DA even admitted in a statement that the recommendation came because it was, quote, clear that the court would not impose jail. They asked for probation conditions like banning Burrell from driving for 18 months. But when the judge declined that particular thing, they pivoted to calling the outcome a bad decision. The DA is essentially the Spider-Man pointing meme right now, criticizing the judge for delivering exactly what his office asked for.
Lord have mercy.
And this is the same Nathan Vasquez who ran on being tough on crime and promising accountability. But how? His office recommended probation, recommended no jail. And when the judge took them at their word, he turned around and drug her in the press to look like he's still the law and order guy. That's not tough on crime. That is absolutely tough on optics.
Yeah.
As for Burrell, he'll be back in court in January for a probation check. And until then, he's on probation, must serve community service, and may be starring in his own PSA soon. And as for the DA, are you not embarrassed?
I'm still battling the cop inside me. When I saw the videos, I dealt with road rage for a long time. And then also, like, even today, I get really upset when people drive recklessly because the first thing that comes to mind, and maybe I'm triggered because I was in a highway accident.
Yeah, likely.
Yeah.
It's called trauma.
The traumas. When I see people doing wild things, like turning, making a left turn from the furthest right turn.
From the right lane. Hey, man, I got to get somewhere, okay? You guys take a pause. Take a beat.
What
I'm just going to cut across.
Is that Broadway? That's Broadway. Heading
Broadway
up.
Of four lanes, one-way traffic. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I'm seeing that happening, and it's just like, what is wrong with you people? Make the right, circle the block, come around to the intersection you wanted to get to. Like, you can't just... What is everyone behind you expected to do because you've made this decision to cut across three lanes of traffic? Like, if you get hit, you'll be Stop. Like, oh, I was in an accident. You set some very terrible wheels in motion.
Were you in it or did you cause it?
Right. You could have killed multiple people. So when I saw his videos, I was just like, what is happening? Why would you behave this
Ambush
way?
Ambush was incensed.
I was incensed.
The then, youth these days.
Also, why are you filming this? Like, bro.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, would you not film your own stunts too? Fam was doing some wild work.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of stunt people you follow. If he was a stunt person, you would feel differently.
It's true. He was doing carcore though. And I didn't like it.
Carcore is insanity.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Carcore is wild.
You know? So here I am feeling like, hey, you know, not that he needs a stiff sentence, but in hearing this, I was like, wow, I thought he would get some jail time. Again, still battling the cop inside me because I am not a fan at all of our current prison system. You know, I am a baby abolitionist. I'm working. Whew. Working, meaning I understand the concept of abolition, and I do believe we need to do away with prisons, but I have not read the books that I have purchased. So there's that, you know?
I mean, to jump into a thought experiment with me and tell me what was the sentence that was given, where you are 18 months probation, 80 hours of community service, mental health screening and treatment if needed, reckless driving class,
PSA. And,
that's by choice. The PSA is if you do a video saying don't do what I did, then you could get some community hours taken off. So that's an optional thing. But the other part was the panel. You have to go to a victim impact panel,
right,
kind of thing.
Right. Right.
So that is the sentence that has been handed for the crimes of reckless driving and endangering a person. Mm-hmm. If they went to jail, what would help?
All it does is give me a very short and quick and easy solve, which is that guy doesn't know what he's doing behind the wheel. He's made a choice to drive recklessly, put him somewhere where he can't do that. And that's not the actual fix.
Yeah.
Like, look at me agreeing with the DA. Their recommendations, because honestly, as you're running that list down, I don't know if you heard me, like, you know, as you were going through the story the first time, he was like 80 hours of community service. I was like, 80 hours is a lot of time. Like, for a community service, it's like, man, that's going to go slow. So it's not like what he was given isn't sufficient, and it could actually have a positive impact and give this person the opportunity to learn from their mistake. It's far better, but it's still that, again, that cop inside me that's like, you did a thing, you need to go to places where people who bad things go. Boom. Check back in with me later. Why? Like, for what?
Yeah, I mean, this text says, surely he's never going to do this again after 90 days of definitely not driving without a license, though. Michelle, yeah. I definitely don't think that that means this man won't drive. I don't definitely don't think that this, you know what I mean? Like that. I know what suspended license means to a lot of people. And it don't mean they're about to get on the bus. This dude is pretty high profile with the whoops, though. So, you know, I would just be, careful.
Go cautious.
Get out there and be careful. But that's clearly not really where that man is yet. Maybe he's got to hit that victim impact panel. I guess my thing is there's opportunities for you to learn why what you did was not just your individual action and how it endangers others and how you may be in control of your vehicle and you may have all of that, but you have no idea what the people panicking around you are going to do. Mm-hmm. And my mom is the queen of overcorrection. She's going to overcorrect her car for you because you went into a lane that she wasn't expecting you to. And now she ran into the freeway divider and you just kept going. You know what I mean? Like, so you, I mean, there's just,
oh no.
Shout out to my mom.
I'm not saying like,
I love you, mama.
But true.
Jeez. But you know what I mean? That you cannot control other people's reactions to the things that you're doing. And it is reckless. This is harmful.
Yeah.
You cannot be out there hanging out the side of your car doing a sideshow on I-5. Oh, my word. During legitimate rush hour traffic.
They had like a belt on the steering wheel.
I'm going to have to remember, I mean, go back to the story, the case of the guy that ran through the parade,
right?
And see what happened there, because then
he got jail time.
Then I'm curious about the update to that.
Yeah. Wow, that dash cam did him zero favors.
Dastardly.
Ooh.
Good morning, Brooke. Brooke said, just popping in to say good morning, fiancés. F the police, ICE, and book tours for corporate politicians / celebrities not doing anything positive for anyone anywhere. Boom. But their pocketbook. Boom. Ding, 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 ding.
Hey, Brooke.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know who it's from, but it says, I'll just say yesterday was a great day to not be a professional hate monger.
You're going to love who that was from. Kenneth. I'm like,
I had to take a step back from the mic so I didn't super scream into your ear.
I was like, she's going to guess it. She's going to guess it.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely am not guessing. That's not my move. Those are numbers that, you know, instead of names. And I am dyslexic with the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So I can see the area code. I can see the whole phone number, mm-hmm. right? And I can still put all the numbers in the wrong place as I'm looking at it. And so, no, I'm not going to guess. I did that once. I guessed AJ was Carlos or Carlos was AJ because their numbers were really close and I was wrong and we're not doing it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mistakes get learned over here. Put that on my tombstone. If I'm not going to have one of those. I'm not.
Yeah.
So say, put it on the whatever, the plaque, the placard on the urn.
Right. The urn.
I don't know. Wherever somebody honors me, if they do, which they probably won't, just make sure it says that.
Okay.
And now I've forgotten already what I asked for it to be said.
I was going to say, I feel like we've had this discussion before, but now I can't remember. But they're going to give us the ashes in an urn. And it's just like the urn with which, if it's not a display urn, there's not going to be anything etched on it. But at the same time, we already know you don't want the ashes to be kept. You want them to be distributed, right? Back out into
scatter. Okay. Darling.
So that being the case, it should be a plaque because with a picture of your pleasing, because what do we keep in the urn for? It's a temporary urn, right?
I don't even think it comes in an urn. It comes in a box.
A box.
A box in a bag.
A box in a box in a bag.
Yeah.
So it's just a plaque.
Graffiti the box.
Oh my God.
Jess,
and then what?
Jess, graffiti no. my box of ash. What do you mean?
And then we're going to keep. Do you want that in front of the plaque?
I'm not here, bro.
No, do but you? You're giving instructions, so you can't
I just
do
want
you.
You to remember that I learned lessons. That's it. I just want someone to say something nice about me when I die. And one of the nice things is that Morgan, she really learned lessons. That's it. I don't know how we got to the all the way down here.
Is that what goes with the plaque?
We're right back to it. Try to sew that up.
I'm just trying to get clear instructions.
Okay, this says, I can't stand the person that will not turn right on a red light when it's not marked. Oh my God, it's so hard to control the bee. You need a move. And I want to be very clear. I am also that person, and I know whose fault it is. My dad. My dad taught me how to drive and he made me impatient.
He is an F1 driver.
And he literally is an F1 driver.
Yeah.
Not literally. But he taught me how to drive. And so there's this, you got to get where you're going mentality. Like I always hear him, put your signal on, take that turn. Mm-hmm. Take that turn. Take it. Anybody at a red light where they could turn right. Well, I guess a left if it's on a one way. Doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Yeah.
When you can turn right on a red and you don't, I'm sitting there going, where did I learn this? Was it in driver's ed or was it from my dad? But I know for certain it's legal to do because yeah. it's a question on the yeah. written test.
If there isn't a sign,
how come y'all don't know this? Like, I just, yeah. that's what happens when I'm behind the wheel. I have to do that calculation every time. Why don't y'all know this? Where are you from?
Some people treat it like double Dutch. And
it's
they're
a break.
Scared to. there's a car coming. It's that car's not coming as fast as you think it is. You and I both have time to make this turn on red. But the two of us. Kenneth said, am I that exciting?
Yes.
My day was made.
Yes,
day
is Kenneth. Made. Sorry, I didn't. It's so exciting, I cut ambush off.
And then Rudo said, not everyone Pass. Can be buried easily. Some have to earn it.
See, I tried to say pass from the beginning. I tried.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
See, look at that. P-Town said, well, if you become a tree, folks could come sit with you and learn life lessons too. Do that. Make me a tree. Done.
You got to choose a tree.
You know,
that's important.
I'm really not understanding.
It's going to be a new tree.
Like,
I'm not going to put you at an existing tree.
Continuous pushback from this one.
No. It's wanting the details.
Even in my death, I have to do all the work. Is what I'm hearing.
This is. I hope everyone realizes that you're alive and we're asking you these questions.
Yeah, but
is there a particular type of tree that you would like to be buried under?
Death planning, is it not? That's what burials are about. It's not for the living.
But we are inviting life into the equation by planting you under a tree. So is there a specific tree that you would like
not
to be planted under?
Not under a tree. You need, you know, like I need to become a part of the tree. That's
right.
That
so we put you in and... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're plopping a tree on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you're literally, you're part of that tree's nutrients and everything, you literally become part of that tree. Like people can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know yet, but just make sure that it is indigenous to the area of which it is being planted so that it can, in fact, thrive.
That is very specific and a poignant, very poignant thought there. Because if you ask me, oh, shepherd tree, oh, you're going to think all these wonderful trees that you love. Are those trees indigenous to the area?
Will they make it?
Will they even make it?
You know,
are you introducing diseases from this particular tree?
Are you going to bring in some insects that don't belong?
This is
not what I want to do in my death.
No,
I'll tell you this about that.
No, Japanese maples don't belong everywhere, Ambush. So you can't just put them wherever you like.
Someone said, I'll become a dog walker just to come find Morgan's tree. And this is what I'm talking about. Okay.
Who would say that?
That's
what you want.
This is the celebration of life I'm asking for. Oh, Ambush, like, get on board.
Okay. No?
Did Morgan just buy a new life insurance policy? Ambush is really set on getting these instructions today.
Lobfish, please. Please. Relax. Relax.
I think everybody needs to remember that. Kyle, highlight that text message and timestamp, please. Okay.
Flopfish on the air. Why would you do this? Betrayal.
All right. So we got about 20 minutes left.
Yeah,
and we got about
an hour's worth of a story to discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So should we head to, since we're talking about death, or?
Hey, should we head to what?
Either story involves it. You decide, Ambush. I'm gonna give you my titles.
Listen. Go ahead.
I'm gonna give you my story titles, and then you decide which one we do.
All right.
Drone It and Dead It, or Hate to Halo, Failing Up Even in Death.
That's a pretty solid one. I'm going to respond with a quote from the great Will Ferrell, the characters he portrayed. I think it's important that we give the people what they're waiting for, give people what they want.
Because it gets them going?
It gets them going. People have been waiting all morning to hear our views on what happened yesterday. Let's not delay them any longer.
All right.
Beyoncé's, let's start here. We are not sanitizing Charlie Kirk in death. He was a white nationalist, misogynist, racist, and propagandist, whose career was built on fear, division, and political radicalization of young people. Through Turning Point USA, Kirk built an empire funded by billionaires like the DeVos family, Foster Fries.
Freeze.
And the Koch Network. The group claimed over 2,500 campuses and 250,000 student members, spreading Christian nationalism, anti-immigrant, anti-trans, and anti-black rhetoric, all while framing it as free speech or civic engagement. He had Trump's ear, spoke at the RNC, and used his media platforms to mobilize youth for MAGA politics. Charlie Kirk was killed yesterday. The shooter is still at large, but the police, media, and politicians are already calling it a political assassination, rushing to paint him as a great debater and a hardworking political citizen. Meanwhile, the harm he caused to marginalized communities, the communities he spent years targeting, is conveniently ignored. Now let's put that in perspective with the history of MLK Jr., Malcolm X, and Fred Hampton were all seen and treated as enemies of the state. Martin Luther King Jr., 1968, surveilled and harassed under COINTELPRO, assassinated under conditions shaped by state negligence, initially framed as the act of a lone gunman. Malcolm X, 1965, shot during a public speech under FBI and NYPD surveillance. Media blamed internal NOI conflict, while files later revealed state monitoring that heightened his vulnerability. Brett Hampton, 1969, executed in a pre-dawn raid coordinated by the FBI and Chicago police. Later, lawsuits confirmed legal government action.
Illegal
government action through the initial framing denied, though the initial framing denied political responsibility. All three were seen as radical leaders by the state, fighting for racial and economic justice. They were criminalized, surveilled, and killed, while mainstream media treated their deaths as random crimes or community conflicts. Here's a stark contrast. According to multiple U.S. government reports, far-right extremism and anti-government white nationalists are the largest domestic threat in America today. And yet, Charlie Kirk, a man who helped radicalize white youth into this ideology, dies and is instantly sanitized. The media and political class rush to mourn him as a hero while ignoring the threat he embodied. Fiancés, the lesson is crystal clear. History shows us the state can turn on radicals who fight for justice while elevating and sanctifying those who spread hate. Words like assassination aren't neutral. They're political signals. And who gets called a martyr? Who gets celebrated? Who gets remembered as a victim? That contrast is why we call things as they are. Charlie Kirk may be dead, but the machine he ran, the ideology he spread, and the threat he embodied that's still alive until we confront it, nothing has changed. And let's not forget Kirk's own words. Yes, people die from gun violence. It's tragic, but that's the price of freedom. Unfortunately, it's worth it to keep the Second Amendment intact. He wasn't just a victim of gun violence. He was a cause. Vice President J.D. Vance canceled a planned trip to New York for the 9/11 memorial. Instead, flew to Salt Lake City, Utah, to pay respects to the Kirk's family. Vance, joined by his wife, Usha, praised Kirk, writing, "So much of the success we've had in this administration traces directly to Charlie's ability to organize and convene. He didn't just help us win in 2024. He helped us staff the entire government." This is the political sanification we're talking about. While the harm Kirk caused is erased, leaders in power publicly link their success to him. His influence and his ideology lives on through the halls of government.
I want to add a few things because that's who I am. On race, Kirk leaned into open stereotyping and dismissal. In January 2024, he admitted that when he sees a black pilot, he questions whether that person is qualified, a statement that reinforced racist assumptions about black competence and safety. He dismissed George Floyd as a scumbag during an October 2021 speech in Minnesota, erasing the significance of Floyd's murder and the mass racial justice movement it sparked. And as recently as this month, he belittled the accomplishments of Joy Reid, Michelle Obama, and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, attributing their successes solely to affirmative action. His bigotry extended beyond race. He regularly warned of an Islamic takeover of America and Europe, casting Muslims as existential threats. After Zohran Mamdani, a Muslim candidate, won the Democratic primary for the mayor of New York, Kirk tweeted, 24 years ago, a group of Muslims killed 2,753 people on 9/11. Now a Muslim socialist is on pace to run New York City. Even while presenting himself as a defender of Jews and Israel, he drew criticism for anti-Semitic tropes from across the political spectrum. On gender, Kirk repeatedly undermined survivors of sexual assault. He suggested that there's a gray area in rape cases involving intoxication, implying that some assaults should not be recognized as such. At one of his events, when a young woman shared that she had carried a pregnancy from rape and incest to term, the audience cheered, and Kirk celebrated their reaction rather than challenging it. Kirk's extremism was not just rhetorical, it was organizational. Through Turning Points USA, he created a massive pipeline for white nationalist ideology into mainstream conservative politics. The Anti-Defamation League noted that TPUSA events and online spaces were repeatedly embraced by white supremacists. The Southern Poverty Law Center documented TPUSA's links to extremists as early as 2018. Even when Kirk tried to distance himself from specific incidents, his organization remained mired in controversies, rooted in bigotry. Financially, he was backed by conservative mega donors like the DeVos family, the Koch-affiliated networks, the Uline family.
Crazy.
By 2023, TPUSA's revenue had exploded to more than $81 million annually, up from $4.3 million in 2016. With that money, TPUSA expanded onto more than 2,500 campuses and claimed a membership of over 250,000 students. Its arsenal included the professor watch list used to intimidate faculty, which there's another story happening right now about that kind of harassment of faculty. Anyway, excuse me, nationwide culture war tours and a steady drumbeat of anti-DEI, anti-immigrant, transphobic, misogynistic, and Christian nationalist messaging, all packaged as free speech. And for me, finally, his influence was not limited to the campus or the stage. He had direct ties to Donald Trump, spoke at the RNC, leveraged his podcast and media appearances to mobilize young voters, especially white voters, for Trump in both 2020 and 2024. Charlie Kirk wasn't a great debater or a harmless provocateur. He was a well-funded architect of division whose words and organizations mainstreamed hate, emboldened extremists, and left lasting harm. We will not in any way pretend that he gets to be heralded as any sort of champion, martyr, person for the people. None of that. I don't need to celebrate someone's death, but I sure as heck do not feel bad. This is a person who got to die doing what he loved. So high five to him.
That's literally where I was going to go, you guys. It's one thing to be pro-gun rights. It's another thing to be anti-gun safety. And Charlie Kirk was like, super. Hey, man, if people have to die as a result of me having my gun rights as they exist without any type of reform or safety, so be it. That's a blatant disregard for not just all of the children that we've lost in these school shootings. So many people whose lives could have been changed for the better if we had the proper reform in place, which he was staunchly against. It's, in a literary sense, it's somewhat poetic that this is how he met his ends. I will say this, and, you know, I think we've been pretty clear on how we feel about this man's history. We are going to begin to see, we're already seeing it, and it's going to continue to escalate, the ramping up of the positive spin on Charlie Kirk's life, the martyrdom that is soon to come. Do not, I urge fiancés, do not spend time going back and forth with people that want to retcon his life. Let them live in that fantasy. Let them live in that fantasy. Instead, I would urge you to focus on what the backlash is going to look like. Focus on what laws will be enacted with his name now. What bills are going to come up? Yeah, this won't be taken lightly. It simply won't. And it'll be an excuse. Jesus for Jesus. Right. It'll be an excuse for so many things to follow. And we got to keep our eye on the ball there. But don't get distracted by the people that, you know, they didn't care about Charlie Kirk. But now they have something else that they want to, you know, fight on Facebook about. Like, leave them to it. Leave them to their new martyr.
I just also want to add that there was another school shooting yesterday, just in case you missed it because of all of the Kirk news. A school shooting in Colorado, and the shooter there is dead from, I think, self-inflicted gunshot wounds. But I believe that there were two students shot. And there was a lot going around yesterday, you know, with the Charlie Kirk video and people saying, you know, this is, don't watch this if you're squeamish, and you know, warnings all over the place. And there were also a lot of people saying things like, so if you watch that Charlie Kirk video and it grossed you out, and, you know, two kids were shot in the same style today. And I think that that is an important reminder that, like, we can all see a lot of wild stuff on TV and movies and, you know, the like, things that are not real. And then when you see the real thing, it is very different, right? When you see the real thing with a little kid, with a little body, with an old body, it's different. And I just want to remind that we have been watching the decimation of a people for 2 years now via our screens. And so people are a little desensitized to a man being shot in his neck.
Yeah.
Because on the same timeline, you are seeing literal babies blown up. And so, you know, I don't know, perspective, I guess.
Bob from the Box of Dirt. What up, Bob?
Bob!
I'm supposed to mourn the passing of a guy who advocated killing me? No, not going to do that. Sorry for what happened to him, but I'm not going to miss him.
Period. Period, point blank. Could have been the story.
100%. There is a element to the conversation in which people are saying, you know, this is political violence and this is not who we are as a nation, and we got to put an end to political violence. And I'm glad that you tied it into the genocide, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Palestine, because you're right. We have become desensitized to this type of violence. When I saw the video yesterday, I thought it was AI. It was so clear. I was just like, this can't be. Also, I've also been making a point just not to see things like that. So when it started, I was like, I automatically assumed this was not going to be a real video. The angle was too clear like this. So when it happened, I was like, I watched it once. And at this time, it still wasn't clear whether anything actually happened. We were in a text thread where I think someone was like, a bunch of alternative media is reporting this, but nothing on the mainstream yet. So even then I was like, well, you know, whatever. We'll see. Like, you know. But then the conversations around political violence started bubbling up. And again, like you said, for 2 years, we've been watching political violence play out. For people to say, you know, this isn't who we are. Political violence is what the nation was built on. It's how the nation is maintained, both foreign and domestically. If we had these videos, if we had videos of some of the things, if we had clear videos like this, of some of the things that our nation has been doing for decades overseas, it's like, how can you have a conversation? honestly, genuinely, and say political violence is not the answer. This is just, you know, this is it's beyond the pale. We should not be conducting ourselves this way.
I think that, honestly, people don't understand a lot of the words that they say. And they don't understand how it correlates to the rest of the world. Like, this is just an incident for a lot of folks. This is a, you know, person who was harmed by a person, not taking into account that person's role within systemic violence, within systemic oppression, within, you know, Charlie Kirk is a person that said Black people were better off in slavery and subjugation. It was bad. His quote, it was bad and it was evil, but they committed less crime.
Yeah.
Like, there's no room for a person like this to be heralded to me in as a anything except for in a country that was founded on violence, on political violence, on racial violence, on subjugation. All of the things that they will tell you this country is not about what is exactly what we were founded on.
Yeah.
And because we don't talk about the fact that we were founded on that and that we wrap it in white supremacist ideology and say things like, you know, it was bad and those white people did some evil things, but like those Black people got to eat. And those Black people had shelter and they committed less crimes, you know? So like, hey, maybe we should go back to that.
Maybe we should make America great again. This reminds me that, again, thank you to your framing. This reminds me of a time, I want to say throughout the 90s, and particularly throughout the 90s, like before I could like run around the streets, you know, and be out there on my own. When I would just be in and out of the house listening to the news, and my parents were listening to. And it seemed like every single night, U.S. news was reporting on an assassination of some leader or the head of some organization or someone in power, either in the Middle East or an African nation, somewhere brown, where brown people were all the time. And it would just rattle off.
Yeah.
Like it was not a thing. Like, and such and such was assassinated today, and da da da, and we're waiting for details, and blah, 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 and right on to the next thing. Like, this type of political violence it's been going on for so long.
Sorry.
Go ahead, what were you going to say?
It's empirical violence. It is.
Yeah. Yes.
It is,
yes.
Literally in pursuit of.
Yes.
You know. Empire.
Yeah.
It we could take the word political out of it. It's empirical violence. And it's going. It has never not been a part of this country. It has never not been a part of Europe. This is the kind of thing that they get to literally just gloss over. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of colonization and subjugation. And they get to like gloss over and be like, Blacks bad. Women bad. Put your bare feet back in this house and make me some food. And while you're pregnant. The everything, it's everyone bad unless white man, and right. And in, be clear, if you are a poor white man, bad too.
Period.
Andrew Tate is out here saying, well, you know, gone too soon. The left is responsible for this. Elon Musk, he's murdered by the left. That is stoking. That is inciting. Those are the things that they continue to do.
Which is how we
January 6th. be for real. They stormed the Capitol and the president was like, everybody gets a pardon.
Thanks for coming to my picnic that I had nothing to do with.
That I never said anything about.
Somebody said violence at a Klan rally. Klan's people upset because it hit one of their own. Nope. That's all. That's all. Ooh.
Definitely an interesting situation that he was like answering a question about violence. I think the thing I saw was that the word violence was his last word.
Yeah.
And he was being asked about gun violence. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, are we talking about gang violence?
Yeah. They were asking about mass shootings and how many trans people are responsible for mass shootings. Like, they were nailing him and putting him into a corner where he would have to admit that the percentage is so low. So then he pivoted to, well, are we talking about gang shootings? Are we classifying that as mass shootings?
Right.
And, you know.
Which clearly you don't care about stats or data or any of that, if that's what you're doing. No. I did just want to add, because I had forgot to put it in the story, that for that Charlie Kirk visit to the college in Utah, which I can't remember the name of it, something Valley. It's Utah's biggest public university.
Jeez.
There was, you know, a petition for them to not bring him by students. And what kind of university would stop hate speech, you know? So for free speech, we're going to have to go ahead and make sure that he can be here and have these conversations. We don't really care about what the students on campus want. It's just, you know, that's a lot.
I was going to say, well, we see how this turned out. There were people that showed up, or at least a person that showed up, that was very clear about how they felt about Charlie Kirk and the way he lived his life. And was not confused at all about the harm that he's caused.
Yeah.
And to watch the president and other political leaders cozy up and try to turn him into a martyr. Again, this is like you're publicly celebrating a white nationalist. And then you will turn around and say, I am not racist. Okay.
Yep.
Let's see who that works on.
No. I want to see if I can do this other story really fast. And the reason why is there's an update to it. It's kind of old, or not old, but so on September 2nd, fiancés, you may remember that the U.S. military, on President Trump's orders, struck a boat off the coast of Venezuela. You may not have known that it was with drone strikes. You may not have known 11 people were killed. But what we're learning now, and what you didn't know for sure, is they left out the critical detail. There were survivors of the first strike. And then those survivors were killed in follow-up strikes. The Trump administration is openly claiming this as a win, saying that the operation targeted narco-terrorists, allegedly from the Tren de Aragua gang, without offering any real evidence. Here's where it starts to get wicked. Shout out to old boy Zevi. On the boat apparently spotted the U.S. drones and tried to turn back toward shore. It was on its way back toward shore. And still, it was hit multiple times.
That's wild.
Senator Rand Paul has confirmed this. There's no arrests, no trials, just powerful drones, a kill order, and a president posting an edited video like a trophy. I want to say, make no mistake, fiancés, this is absolutely illegal and nothing has been done and they're not even hiding it. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth doubled down saying, quote, narco-terrorists will face the same fate anywhere. And Trump tweeted it out as if this was a show of force. They haven't given any specifics about why this boat was on U.S. radar. What exactly made these people legitimate targets, if anything? Legal experts are calling this premeditated killing outside an armed conflict, straight up violations of the law of war. A Pentagon insider called it, quote, a criminal attack on civilians, noting that firing the military's top lawyers earlier this year cleared the way for this kind of unchecked action. And I just want to be clear, this is not about law and order. This isn't about protecting Americans. This is about power. Raw, unchecked, unrestrained power that people don't get to go to trial. People don't get to be accused of anything. They don't get a chance to defend themselves. They just die, and a video gets posted like a trophy. As Ambush has said, if you think that 2028 is going to be a normal election, you might want to keep dreaming. When a president can kill civilians across the globe and continue to bypass Congress, the Constitution is merely a suggestion. Period. The question isn't who will vote for. It may be whether the system will even be standing by then, because democracy is down bad.
2028 is a long, long time away, guys. It's ways. It's going to feel like 10 years from now. C said, do we hear a morsel of empathy for the Minnesotan Congress folks when they lost their lives?
For Horman? No.
Or how radical the right was?
For Melissa, absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
We did not.
Didn't hear a word. Certainly no State of the Union style address.
No half-mast request.
No half-mast.
Nothing.
Big bad.
Yeah.
They are absolutely pledging allegiance to white supremacy in our face. And y'all need to just like actually be ready for what that means, because there are other people who've been waiting for this moment.
Mm. Guess what? You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 107.1 and 91.1 FM. And in the Halem, Manzanita, Wheeler, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. And this was News of My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Our podcast editor, Kyle G, Residual Audio.
Ba, 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 ba.
The playlist is updated, and Kyle will make sure all the texts get in. There were a few that we didn't get a chance to read on air. But thank you for always staying engaged with us. But you know the situation, you know the deal. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice, people over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.